Good morning once again. Welcome to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 20 in verse 28 will serve as our text. You can follow along in your Bibles. The scripture is also printed in your bulletin. 1 Kings chapter 20 verse 28 reads, "Then a man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, 'Thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore, I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" This morning, we shall begin with a Bible story, and then I shall preach Christ to you from it. The year was about 855 years before Christ. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, had assembled a coalition to make war against Ahab, the king of Samaria, who reigned over the northern territories of Israel. Now, initially, they had come to terms of peace, but Ben-Hadad wanted all that Israel had for himself. Like Satan, he was not content with just a little. He sought the total destruction of his enemies. So at this point, Ahab, king of Israel, refused the terms, and Syria attacked. And then God brought about a great victory for Israel in the hill country. We read in the narrative, "The servants of the king of Syria said to him, 'Their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But if we fight against them in the plain, surely we will be stronger than they.' So do this thing. Dismiss the kings, each from his position, and put captains in their places. And you shall muster an army like the army that you have lost, horse for horse, and chariot for chariot. And then we will fight against them in the plain. Surely, we will be stronger than they.' And he listened to their voice, and he did so. And so it was in the spring of the year that Ben-Hadad mustered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel mustered and given provisions, and they went against them. Now, the children of Israel encamped before them like two little flocks of goats, while the Syrians filled the countryside. And then the man of God came and spoke to the king of Israel and said, 'Thus says the Lord, because the Syrians have said the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys, therefore I will deliver all this great multitude into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' And so it happened. Israel won the victory in the valleys and plains, just as they had won the victory in the hill country. Bear in mind, friends, that Ahab, as well as most of national Israel in that day, had walked away from faith in the living God. Yet, the Lord, the God of battles, nevertheless fought for his own name's sake. You see, sometimes God works in our lives and in circumstances in spite of the fact that we don't have any faith, in order to accomplish his purposes and to prove to us and to all that he truly is God. Now, having received the context of our text, we now move to its applications. First, the Lord is both the God of the hills and the God of the valleys. Second point this morning, God's activity is such that you shall know that he is the Lord. He will leave you, friends, without excuse and without any doubt as to whether or not he is the Lord, leaving it up to you to decide whether you will accept him as your Lord your Savior and your God. First, the Lord is both the God of the hills and the God of the valleys. Now, many times, we have a hard time believing that He is both. God has come through for you in the hills. Did not the disciples of Jesus Christ see the Savior, feed the multitudes, calm the storm, raise the dead? And yet, when Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised the third day, Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Have you seen God bring you through a battle before? Well, the disciples had. Has God brought you through a difficult childhood, an illness, a physical or an emotional issue? Has He brought you through the sorrow that comes from the death of a loved one, a job loss? Has He brought you through disappointment, even despair? A time where you sat there without hope. And maybe you didn't even know what to do. But somehow, you look back on it now, and you realize that God was there. Has He brought you the hope that comes from the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Have you believed upon the Son of God, and now having passed from death into life, will God let you down, really? Having received a new spiritual birth at the hill called Calvary, will you now be cast into the valley of Gehenna? Far be it from God to do such a thing, to treat His children, whom He loves in such a way. Far be it from Him. For Jesus Himself has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Take that promise to the bank. Since God has been good to you to this point, and He has come through for you before, will He not do it again? Says one here today, "I cannot say that I have had much difficulty, for God has set me upon His holy hill from the very first hour." Friend, if this describes you, rejoice. For quite soon, you shall find yourself fighting in the valley. Perhaps then you shall remember these days, the good old days. We've all heard the song, "These are the good old days." And say with the psalmist, and with all the saints, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." I've been told of a certain unfaithful pastor who left his church because it was not growing in numbers as he thought it should. See, God had fought for this man in the hills, but he did not believe that God would fight for him, with him, in the valleys. You would rightly say that he is utterly unfit for the ministry. But I ask you, having judged another, so, do you have that very same attitude? There may be some here who have fought in the valleys their whole lives. Trial after trial. Temptation after temptation. Struggle after struggle. Consider God's victories in those valleys. Surely he shall fight for you in future battles as well. Whether they be in the valley yet again, to which you have become so familiar, or even in the hills. You've been well trained in the battle called adversity. May you say with Job, "Naked have I come from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, I'm afraid I may have missed a few of you this morning. So I'll dare to ask, are there any servants of the king of Syria here? You don't need to raise your hand. You shall be described momentarily. Are you now saying, "I have not defeated God in the hills. I shall defeat him in the plains"? You have been fighting against God in the hills, and you have been forced to retreat. You've gone back to your tent. You have attacked Christianity. You have attacked the Bible up on that hill. You have attacked the church, and you have been confounded, and you have been beaten back every time. You've been fighting against God, and you are not winning. Weighed down by your own sin or your own pride, you have retreated before you have even actually gotten to the battle. And now you are trying to fight against God in the plain, as if you will live forever, as if you could control all of your life's events and all of the circumstances by your own power. Please, dear Syrian friend, I beseech you, say, "Lord Jesus, you have shown yourself God of the hills and God of the valleys. I surrender all." Now, arrived at our second point this morning, that God's activity is such that you shall know that he is the Lord. In our text, the man of God is speaking to Ahab. Who's Ahab? Ahab is the king of Israel. How is it that the king of Israel does not know that Yahweh is the true God? How does that happen? Did not Elijah prove this truth to Ahab the king and everybody else watching at Mount Carmel when God sent fire from heaven in the hearing of all? He prayed, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, in the wood, in the stones, in the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." What a great miracle Ahab had the privilege of witnessing. In two chapters later, somebody's got to come by and tell him who God is. God had done mighty works, and yet much of Israel, including its leadership, still did not bow the knee. How much does God have to do for you until it's enough? And when you finally figure it out, how much will you do for God in return? Please bear with me as I give you another example from Scripture. Should be a rather familiar one, I hope. The Son of God, the perfect sinless God-man, came down for the express purpose of saving sinners. And they crucified him. His death was accompanied by the signs of darkness, an earthquake. And then I suppose that was not enough. So Jesus rose from the dead. A fact of history that neither Jew, nor Roman, nor Greek could disprove. And if they could disprove it, they would have. You can be sure of that. You can tell by their attitude towards Jesus in the Gospels. Now this morning, you have heard of the God of both hills and valleys. And we preach Christ Jesus, that you shall know that He is God. Now being an Israelite king was no guarantee of an eternal life with God. Not for Ahab. Being in a church no more makes you a Christian than being in a garage makes you a car. But being in Christ does make you a Christian. Do not climb the next hill. Do not venture into the next valley. Do not go into the next battle in your life without God involved in the battle. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus Christ is God of the hills. God of the valleys. Is He your God? And if not, will you make Him your God today? Christianity is very simple. That's the bottom line. Accept the fact that someone greater than you exists, and that He's revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, that He came down, lived that perfect life, died on the cross, not for no reason. For what did He die on the cross? For sin. For whom did He die on the cross? For you, for me. And why did it have to be so? So that we can have communion with Him. A relationship with Him which brings us peace in this life and in the life to come. And if you came here without that peace, without that joy, do not leave here without it. That is the most important thing you will do today, the most important thing you will do this week, and the most important thing you will do this side of eternity. Let us now pray. We thank You, God, for Your love which compelled You to come down and sacrifice Yourself for us. God, we thank You that You are God of the hills, that You are the God who is there when we are rejoicing. And we thank You also that You are the God of the valleys, the God who is ever present, a very present help in trouble, when we are weeping or struggling. We thank You for Your constancy, Your faithfulness, how You have been so faithful throughout our lives, whether we've been able to see it or not. Lord, open our eyes that we may see from here on out, that we might rejoice in it, that we might celebrate the fact that as we go through life, which is mostly troubles, mostly battles, there You are walking alongside of us. God, if there are any here who have come without the peace which comes from the knowledge of the eternal life that You give, do a work in this heart this morning. that such a one might believe in the heart and confess with the mouth unto your glory in the presence of all of your people and before you and the holy angels who are witnessing every Christian service in which the name of your Son is exalted. Pray these prayers in the name of our great Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.